Father, Jesus told us to do that. And he did everything, except what Jesus told us to do. He didn't. He left Jesus out of it. Jesus told us what? To confess our sins to him. He washes us clean. You make it right with your brother. Yeah, we're supposed to do that. Those are all good things. But the ultimate authority is Jesus. And another one, he said to him, another good time to repent is toward the end of one's life. Young people, you're not guaranteed. I'm not guaranteed. I may not be here next Sunday. You may not. That's why this is so very important. This is so very, very important. Repentance is a way of life. If you hear his voice, he said, do not turn away as they did in the rebellion. Do not harden your heart and turn away, because you may not hear this again. You may not hear this again. Romans 12:1 tells us, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. A living sacrifice. You see the guy on the altar? He's just laying up there. He's a living sacrifice. What's he doing? He's saying, it's all yours, God. It's not my will. It's your will. And then he says, holy and acceptable. See, he crawled up on that altar, and it's the beginning of his walk, because there's a second part to that, which is the verse. This is very important about repentance. You see, he came to God, and he says, it's yours. My life is yours. This is the beginning of repentance. And then faith comes in together. It's a physical turning away. You see the picture? He crawled up on there. Physically, he's turning away from his sin, and he's turning to God, to Teshuva. There's another part to the word we're getting to, and we're getting. So he's set apart from defilement. This is what he's talking about, the world. He's set apart from the world. When Jesus was tempted, he was what told? Satan came to him and said, turn this bread into stone. He's fasting, he's hungry. The lust of the eyes. He also came to Eve and he said, you may eat of any tree in the garden? And Eve said, no, not that one. But she did anyways. But Jesus didn't. No, Jesus used scripture to say, no. No. Lust of the flesh, you know, when he took him up and he said, jump. He said, he'll have his angels save you. You will not hurt your foot. Jesus said, no. But he told Eve, you will not die. You'll surely not die. She bought it. Personal gain. How many of us, we can turn away quickly? Think about it. If you won $1 million tomorrow, would it affect your walk with Christ any different? Would you be sold into that and go, oh, I think I'm going to go get me a new Lamborghini, or I'm going to go do this or that, and I'm going to travel the world, I'm going to do this? Is that your thoughts that come into your head? It's probably why you don't win $1 million. Because I sit there and think, man, I could do this, I could do that. But it's his will. Once again, the living sacrifice. You are to be in God's will. The pride of life. And this is another one. You can have all the kingdoms. That's what Satan told Jesus. You can have all the kingdoms. All you have to do is worship him. And Jesus, no. You worship the Lord your God and him only. But Eve went ahead, heard, you will be like God, and said, really? And she ate of the tree. You see, where man fell, Jesus didn't falter. He stayed up on that altar in the fasting. And the reason I went to that is because that's the beginning of his ministry. He got baptized, went out and fasted, and then he came and he started preaching. He's preaching the very words I'm talking about. He's preaching Teshuvah to those who knew Hebrew. And now we're going to get to the second part of that word. See, repentance is not just saying I'm sorry. and moving on and continue to do the same thing. It's a way of life. As I said, a way of life. We sit here and we think about it, but are we living it? Are you going to work? Are you helping other people? When someone asks you, why are you so different? Are the fruits in your life outside of these doors? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. I love that picture of the fish. Do not be conformed. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good, acceptable, and perfect. The picture of that fish, he's changed his mind. You see, this is repentance. Repentance is teshuva. You're walking this way and you turn around and you change your mind. Now it's not just the outside. You see, Israel was called teshuva. They were called teshuva. It's an outside picture. In the Old Testament, he said, rend your hearts and not your garments. They tore their garments in a show of repentance. But he says, it's not your garments. It's your heart. And Jesus comes on the scene. Now we have a Greek word that backs this word up. It's called metanoia. Change your mind. Inside out. And Jesus was on the stage, and I told you, he got baptized. He went out and was tested in the wilderness, and he did not fail. He comes in, and the first thing he preaches, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Be transformed. A friend of mine told me, always get to the cross. If you're believing that Jesus was a man, just a man, a good teacher, sinless prophet, then you may not believe that he'll return at all. Was he all these things? He was a good teacher? Yeah, he taught us all kinds. He taught us the way to live. And that dying on the cross didn't help you if he's just a man. Because the word tells us, he says, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus, he did not. So he paid the price on the cross, not as a sinful man, but it says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says that he who knew no sin became sin on the cross. He did not sin, but he became your sin on the cross to take your place, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The word return right there. You were straying, but you've returned. You've turned around and come back. Now change your mind as well. Live your life day to day in repentance. Turn around. Our verse for today I'm going to go into is Luke 13. If you guys want to turn there. I was setting that up with that word so that we understand that repentance is the turning around, the actual picture of turning around, and it bears fruit in the turning around. But when it comes from down inside, it bears more fruit. It's an entire picture of the man of God. We're looking like Jesus. Jesus lived it perfectly, and we need to be living it as well. Luke 13, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the others because they suffered this way? He answers the question, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Some of your versions will say likewise there, you likewise will perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others? Unless you repent, he says, you too will all perish. Jesus came out and he preached repentance as a way of life, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now the Galileans came to him and they're saying, look at how these people died. They died with their blood mingled with the sacrifice, which was the sacrifice for sin. And they're saying to him, they're saying, this is blasphemy. This is a horrible way to die. It's horrible. In that day, yes, it was horrible. But Jesus is telling them, he's saying, yeah, they suffered. But he tells the people standing there that you too are going to perish. Jesus doesn't beat around a bush when it comes to this. He doesn't say, don't worry, it'll all be okay. Everything will be fine. No, he doesn't. He tells them that unless they repent, likewise, the same will happen to them. Does he mean they're all going to be killed in this way? No, but he means you'll perish. They perished, and the people were trying to make themselves see, we're not so bad. We're not so bad. We didn't die like these people died. Did some of them die in their sleep? And that's what's that doing? That's they're justifying who they are, saying, no, we're pretty good people. And Jesus said, good people, that doesn't do it. You're going to perish just the same as they did. Or when the Tower of Siloam fell, 18 people died. That was right off the temple, right off the wall, the Tower of Siloam, boom, right in Jerusalem. See, they're saying the same thing. See how horribly they died? Now, we have a picture of that. Most of us in this room, except for the few young ones, maybe under 25 or 30, probably don't remember the day the towers came down. Were all those people in those towers, were they all heathens? Were there the Christians working there? And they perished. They went down in that tower. You sometimes wonder when you look in that picture, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, how many of them were praying that day? When the planes flew in and they were above that fire. They're running out. They're praying in that day. Jesus tells us a story. We got the story about the two thieves on the cross. And the one, he comes to repentance on the cross. He comes in the very last minute. Yeah, he does. Because he says to him, hey, this man did nothing wrong. And he tells Jesus, he says, remember me when I come into your kingdom. It's his kingdom. So you have this picture and the other one. He says, get us down from here because I want to stay here and live here more. But the other one says, no, we're done. I'm done. You see the picture of repentance there? He's had enough of this world. He's going into the next world. Yeah, he's paying the price for what he did. But Jesus turns and looks at him and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. What a picture of repentance right on the cross. But the thing is, you can't sit here and say you'll have that time that you'll know. And that's what Jesus is telling. Be careful. Repent. Today. Change your mind. Turn around. And come to God. Come to Christ. Let him do his work in you. You see, that's how this works. You start this book, you start getting into his word, he washes your body. He changes you from the inside out. Because you'll come to know who he is by the witness that we have here. I'm going to read you the rest of that parable, 6-8. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but it did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Do you see Jesus in that parable? I'm going to show you where he is. You see, God's coming around looking for fruit. He's talking about Israel. And Jesus is sitting here. He's the one that says, sir, leave it alone for one more year. I'll fertilize it. You see, he makes intercession. This is why it's so very important to repent. Jesus tells this parable right after he's telling people, repent or perish. He tells them he's making intercession on their behalf. That's what Jesus does for us. He makes intercession on our behalf. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith are a flip side of the same coin. It begins when you accept Jesus as Savior. In a couple weeks, two young people are going to come up here and get baptized. And they're going to get dunked in the water. And they're going to come back up. And it's a symbol of the old life being taken away, and a new one has become. Now, will these two people live perfectly as soon as they get dunked? No. But they have that picture of a yearning for God. They have that picture. They come up and God tells us, Jesus went and was baptized for the remission of sins, but he didn't have any sins. He did it for righteousness, to show the way. He led the way. We do it as a picture. We want the old man and we want the new to come. Submission to Jesus in this world is everything. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This is a tough parable, because you sit there and he doesn't comfort anybody in this. He tells them, you are in the same boat as they are. My prayer is that every one of us comes to understand in this room, is Jesus in the trunk of your car this morning? Did you break him out for Sunday and then you put him back in? Now, Jay John's a very funny guy, and I like to go to him when I need a good laugh, but he also builds us up with what he speaks about. Or is he driving your car? Or are you still in the car going, I don't want to go that way? We all have that. It's in us. But we should be getting less and less as we go. Pilate, he mixed the blood of those ones. They were zealots for Israel. They were probably wanting to kick Rome out. And he was known for doing that, for mixing their blood. They weren't worse sinners than anyone else. They just happened to be in that sudden disaster. And they come up and they're talking about this. That's what he's talking about. They're talking about the sudden disaster that comes. And Jesus didn't tell them that, you know, disaster and sudden death, it came whenever sin entered this world. Way back in Genesis, when sin entered this world, disaster is part of it. But here's God calling. He's telling them, you see the disaster, repent, or the same thing is going to happen. They weren't guilty of any more immorality than anyone else. Jesus does not deny that connection of catastrophe and evil. It comes from the curse. They're not better, but they are all in danger because they have not repented. Jesus did not say, well, you know, follow this guy. He repented. No, he said, you are all in danger. So another part that we want to go to is Luke 3. We'll do 7 through 17. John's disciples told him about all these. This is 18. Calling two of them. Wait a minute, I got the wrong verse here. Oh, never mind. That's me. I'm on the wrong page. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming of wrath? The coming wrath. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. The Pharisees were coming, and they had a pride. See, they had a problem. They weren't turned to God. You see, God said, Israel, you are my chosen people. They inherited the Abrahamic covenant through their bloodline. And Jesus is telling them the promises, or John the Baptist is telling them, the promises are given through Jesus. It's not through your blood. It's about turning. He's baptizing them. These are Jewish people they're baptizing. And the Gentiles are sitting there going, wait a minute, they missed this picture too. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. The inside of that whole picture, they saw the outside part, They were doing the sacrificial lamb. They were doing that. They got that. They got it. And now all of a sudden this guy comes on the scene. They're getting baptized in water. They missed the heart. So now the Gentiles who are there are seeing this. They're getting baptized as well by John the Baptist. And they're coming out. And here come the Pharisees. And what does he say to them? You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Repent or perish. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is an interesting part because what is fruit in keeping with repentance? The crowd asked him, what should we do then? And the crowd asked, and John answered, anyone has two shirts, share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food, do the same. Generosity, just like he's talking about, there it is. There's your picture. You share it. It doesn't say, well, because he's not working, don't you? He just says, share it. Give him the gospel. Share it. To anyone who has food, do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Who's a famous tax collector? And I like this because he's the poster child of repentance. His name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus did what? He climbed up a tree. Zacchaeus didn't stand by the tree and watch Jesus go by. He climbed up so Jesus saw him. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. And Zacchaeus came down and he said, you can have this stuff. You can have it all. And anyone I've stolen from, I'll pay back fourfold. He paid it all back. You see the turning around in that picture? You see the repentance? He said, you can have this world. And Jesus said, tonight, salvation has come to your house. Because he turned and walked away from this world and turned to Jesus. The repentance. This world, I don't want. You can have it all. I want Jesus. And Jesus came and dined with him. Zacchaeus is the perfect picture of that whole repentance, the metanoia, and the turning around to teshuvah. Then some of the soldiers asked him, what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. And that description, the first thing that came to my mind, the bullies. Remember the bullies that take lunch money and do that kind of stuff? That's what the soldiers were acting like. They were extorting the money. They were taking everything from the people. And what did Jesus tell the people to do? When they asked you to carry their stuff for a mile, which by Roman law they had to do, he said, you carry it too. And when they asked, why do you do these things? Because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And he told me, this is what to do. You see, a lot of people, the repentance thing, when you come to that repentance part, a lot of people, the world really likes Jesus as Savior. That's great. Jesus saved me and I'm set to go, right? No. Jesus says Lord. Lord and Savior. He wants both. He wants us turned towards him and to live the life he has planned for us, not the life we have planned. All this is about integrity and high character. Luke writes about it, and the bearing fruits and repentance is integrity and high character. The guys at the Monday Night Men's Study were in 1 Thessalonians 4, and it says, this is the will of God. And there's a comma, and it says, your sanctification. That each one of you knows how to possess himself in holiness and honor. Integrity and high character. Do you lie? Do you lie on your jobs? Do you want the next best thing? Do you help those who need your help? Do you go, even though it might not be your job? This is the way we're supposed to live, with integrity and character. When you say something, if you tell someone, I'm going to go do this, I'll be there. Are they counting on you to be there, and are you going to be there? A lot of times it's easy to sit back and say, oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. And the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things come from in the heart. They come from inside, and it works its way out. And that fruit, as long as you stay in the vine, Jesus says, you stay in me and my words abide in you, you will bear this fruit. The churches in Revelation, they represent today's churches. Five of the seven were told to repent. They were told to repent, or he was coming to take their light stand. He was coming to take the lampstand, the light away. Those churches represent today's church. The message of repentance is not always an easy one. Like I said, it's not an I'm sorry and then you move on. It's not I get baptized, I walk out the door, and I'm free to go and do whatever I want. That's called license. That's when people live and they want to sin. They want to live life their way and they want to do what they want to do, not what Jesus wants them to do. 2 Timothy 2:19 puts it this way: this is a sure foundation that the Lord knows those who are his. He knows those who are his. And he says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, iniquity is not sin. It is sin, but it's whenever it's bound up in your heart. You say, I'm going to go do this. And you go and you do it. Sometimes we sin, we don't mean to. It happens accidentally. We say something stupid or... it's not bound up in your heart. You still have to forgiveness for that. You still have to go to Christ and have that forgiveness set for you and repent. But it should be growing in you to where it's less and less. That's departing from iniquity. Out front here we have the Beatitudes, and Pastor Bob likes to call that a ladder. When it first hit me and I realized that the Beatitudes is exactly what Jesus, he comes right out in the Sermon on the Mount, right up front. He goes, this is your life, Christian. This is what it looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom in heaven. Blessed here means happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. They got no spirit left. What do you mean they're happy? They're happy because they've come to the place that they know. Spiritually, they're deprived. They got nothing. Nothing to offer. Everything is in Christ. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's not a verse for a funeral. It's a verse for your funeral if you've died and you live to Christ. Jesus said, die to self, live to me. Pick up your cross. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You're under control. The earth is yours. You don't have to run out and chase it and grab it and fight for it and say, I need this, I need that. You don't need it. You have him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. When have you hungered and thirsted? When have you seen what's wrong and said, man, that's horrible. That's horribly wrong. And found it in yourself as well. I got that messed up. Lord, forgive me. Show me the way. Hunger and thirst for what's right. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You see, now those first four, they were all in the heart. Now we go into the mercy. You can show mercy. You can actually reach out and give mercy so that when that person comes to you and says, man, I'm sorry, you're like, sorry for what? It's done. Jesus does that same thing with us. He tells us, he says, come to me. It's done. That sin, it's in the sea. It's gone. It's buried. What more can we imagine but to be like him? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When God does his works, you'll see it. You'll see it. And you'll be like, man, God really blessed us in that. Or he really showed up today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because theirs are the kingdom of heaven. Now you're getting into rewards. Blessed are those when they revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You want a great reward in heaven? Live to him. Preach the gospel. Preach what's right. Preach repentance as a way of life. Instead of accepting what the world wants a church to accept, we're to be repentant as a way of life, pointing to what's right. I watched a thing this morning in the church in England. It just said, yeah, it's okay for the world to come in and we'll do same-sex marriages and we'll do this and we'll do that. But is that what God taught us? No. It's going to cost them a lot in the end. The application, repentance is a way of life. The Old Testament, it was outside. We now have the New Covenant. It's coming together and it forms that complete picture. You see, you lay your life down up on the altar as a living sacrifice. You change your mind and now you're a fish. You're swimming another way. And J. John uses the thing, are you fruity? Do people look at you kind of funny sometimes when you do things they don't expect? That's fruity, because the world doesn't do that. They trample on each other to try to get to the top. They stab each other in the back. You should not be like this. And to those that stab you in the back, forgiveness and mercy. And when they come and apologize, say, yeah, no problem. And then when they ask you, yeah, it's because Jesus taught me to live this way. I live this way for him. It's not about me now. It's about him. One of the guys I witnessed to just recently out on the street, he said to me, he said, and I've known him, I've gone there a few times, and just let him do his thing. And he goes, I started witnessing to him about Jesus. And he goes, oh, you're a Christian. And I said, yeah. And he goes, you know, he goes, here I am cursing and swearing in front of you. He goes, I've offended you. And I said, so? And he goes, if you'd have told me, he said, I wouldn't have done that. I said, but that's not who you are. And I said, and besides that, you didn't offend me. You offended Jesus. If I'd have put my place in Jesus and said, yeah, you offended me, the gospel's gone. But when I tell him, no, it's about Christ, it's not about me, I'm just telling you, it's about Jesus. You offended Jesus, not me. So I set myself down as a living sacrifice. I didn't come right out and say, hey, I'm a Christian. You shouldn't talk like that around me. You know? That's the point. You can't beat someone over the head to bring them into the kingdom. You have to love them. They have to see that there's love, that there's something different, that there's something greater rising up in us. And see, repentance is this whole picture. We're turned around. We're to be like Jesus. Jesus came. Yeah, the world didn't like him, but you do. You're here. Repent, or likewise perish. I hope that, though I'm not a great preacher, I've lived this in my own life. And I want you to understand. See, I sat in that church pew for a while, and I heard Pastor Bob preach. And it was just coming to church on Sunday. There's this guy up here, and he's telling you, Jesus called for repentance. You see, you have to know how bad you broke the laws to understand what we've done. And we've all done it. No one gets away. You can take that technical law, and he'll make it as technical as he has to. And it'll be like, well, when you were 5, you stole a little piece of gum, or when you were 10. You see, we're all thieves. We're all liars. We're all murderers. But in here, you know the words. And if you don't, you know them today. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You shouldn't be doing that, any of that. It should be inside of you now. God says, I've given you a heart of flesh. And he wrote his law on it. It's not a burden anymore. When I mess up, forgive me, Jesus. But that way of repentance, coming back to him, turning to him. And we all have seasons. Sometimes you'll step over here, and the next thing you know, it'll be like, that's why he says he has a rod and a staff. Get back over here. Get back over here. So today, if you heard his voice, don't harden your heart. Come to him. Call on his name. Now live tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday just like you do today. Crawl up on that altar. Be that fish swimming the other way. They're beautiful pictures. Romans 1 and 2. Romans 1 and 2. Be a living sacrifice. Don't wear a cross and then not be that living sacrifice. I don't care if you wear a cross. You can wear a cross or wear whatever. But the worst thing to see is a guy standing there wearing a cross, cursing and swearing like a sailor and acting crazy without the integrity. A friend of ours sitting in this church says, you have a want to, but your want to changes. And I hope that you all have it because God grants repentance. Come to him today. Some of you have, and I don't know who I'm speaking to who hasn't. Take a look at your lives and decide, because there's a cost of following Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I just give you all the glory and thanks and praise for this. Jesus, you taught us well. You've given us the words to life, and we find them in no other. I pray, Lord, that we will sit there as a people in this church knowing that the modern-day church was told they had a lot to repent about. I pray that we will search that this week, that we will search that out in ourselves. And if we need to repent, that you will let us know, and that we will do those, and that by your words, Jesus, you'll be glorified as we come to know who you are. May we live the life that you planned for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.